Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda, and I am just so excited about my guest today. It's rare that I know my guest personally, but when I do and I know what a dynamo that they are, it just makes me so excited to be able to interview them. So I have the pleasure today of introducing all of you to Kelly Swanson, and she's an award-winning storyteller, comedian, motivational speaker, Huffington Post contributor, and cast member of the Fashion Hero television show airing on Amazon Prime. She is also author of Who Hijacked My Fairy Tale, The Land of the Only, The Story Formula, and The Gutsy Girl's Pocket Guide to Public Speaking. She was featured entertainer for Holland American Cruise Lines, keynote speaker for the International Toastmasters Convention, and has keynoted major conferences and corporate events from coast to coast. Kelly's wacky wit and powerful stories have charmed hearts and tickled funny bones for over 15 years. It is my pleasure to welcome Kelly Swanson to our show today.
Well, thank you, Belinda. What a greeting. I'm not sure I can live up to that. As I always tell people, I sure do look good on paper. But I'm so happy to be here. And even more, I'm just happy somebody wants to talk to me right now. I've been quarantined for so long. I'm excited about the UPS guy showing up so I can put on my lipstick.
Isn't that the funniest thing? I know. I've got my Swans guy comes and he's like trying to follow all the rules. And I think he's afraid like somebody's watching him or something. But he throws my bag at me and then stands like 12 feet away and then tries chatting with me.
At least yours wants to talk.
I know.
Mine's a little ticked off that I keep ordering so much stuff on Amazon. That I think is essential, which candles are essential. I'm sorry. I need candles to get me through the day.
There you go. So, Kelly, let's just fill in some of the gaps of that amazing bio and tell people kind of a little bit more about your journey and where you're at today. And then we'll dive in even deeper on some of the new fun things you're doing.
Gosh, Belinda, asking a storyteller to fill in the gaps. We will be here a week. Let me tell, everybody always asks me, though, when they hear Kelly did this and she did that. I mean, I wear a lot of hats, actress, one-woman show, motivational speaker, a story coach. It feels like I'm all over the place. But actually, it's very centered around the power of story, which maybe we'll talk today about if you feel like it. But people always say, how did you do that? How'd you become a comedian? Like I planned it all out. And the first thing I want to say is it is a series of accidents and doors that opened and I just tumbled into them. This all started, I have been writing stories my whole life and never thought anything would happen. Never thought they were that great, to be truthful. And in the beginning, they weren't. Didn't think I would do anything with it. I mean, what do you do? If you go to college to tell stories, that's not going to work. And I remember after I was an English major, because I didn't know what else to do. Actually, my only goal, I don't even know if you know this, was to get married and have kids.
Wow.
That's about as ambitious as I was. And I don't mean that in a negative. It's just that to me was what a fulfilled life would look like for me. So I majored in English because I could read and write and graduate. And I took a writing class at a community college after I graduated with a bunch of teachers. And we had to read one of our stories to the class. And I read my story and they were like, oh my gosh, the story's good, but the way you tell it is even better. Would you come to our schools? Because they were teachers. They're like, we'll pay you. I'm like, what? You're going to pay me to come tell a story? Well, okay, I need beer money. So I started going in the schools, telling stories, hated it. I mean, no offense, I like kids. But telling them stories, they're like, yeah, what else you got? But the teachers in the room were perking up. And they were, you know, my stories were just about ordinary people and life and living in the funny side and blah, blah, blah. And I promise I'm almost finished. And I began to find my audience in the back of the room with the adults. And one lady that I met, an art teacher, said, you're a storyteller. It was like she anointed me. I didn't even know those they existed. And there was this whole storytelling clubs and all this stuff. And I fell into that world and I went, that's what I want to be, which I'm sure really pleased my parents greatly that my college degree was going to go to that. And so, yeah, that's how it all started. And I had no clue what to do with it. Some days I still feel like I don't. But you better ask me another question or I'll just ramble off into another part of the journey. But that's usually what people want to know is how did you get, you know, so I was a storyteller, kind of an entertainer, then kind of a comedian, and nobody knew where to put me because it didn't really fit, you know, in a comedy club. Or
right. Now, yeah. When we met 5 years ago, I was searching for a complimentary speaker to myself. I teach more strategies and hands-on how-tos and more that left brain girl. And so I was looking for somebody polar opposite of me that could inspire our group and at the same time teach them things. And I know the value of storytelling, especially like creating your success story and being able to share that with other people. And so I found out about you and you were able to come to our leadership event and share, and it was such a hit. And so take us now to that bridge of how you were this storyteller to now how you're working in corporate America. How did that shift in the journey happen?
Well, like I say, first it shifted from being the entertainer to being the speaker, the motivational speaker. That was a big shift. I went from how do I perform, entertain, make them laugh, to actually how do I help them see their lives in a different way? So that was a big shift there. And I quickly realized in the process, Belinda, when I became a speaker, I thought I was doing everything wrong. I'm not the skinniest one in the room. You know, I'm the opposite of what, I mean, half my speaker friends look like Barbie. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, everybody is so perfect and their teeth are all white. And I don't fit into this world, which is a big theme of all my writing is not fitting and feeling not good enough. And in that process, over many years and many experiences, I began to realize that my being like the girl next door or like Melissa McCarthy, a lot of people compared me across between mm-hmm. Melissa McCarthy and Reba, and sharing my personal experiences and being vulnerable and being okay, not coming to people perfect, but authentic and real. That's when my career as a motivational speaker really started to take off because people were desperate for authenticity. And so, and I'm telling you that because when I shifted to corporate, in the very beginning of being a speaker, speakers started coming to me because they wanted to know how I was able to do what I was doing with an audience. And I kept saying, it's all in the stories. Be a good storyteller. Mm-hmm. Your content's great, but how you wrap it is everything. And so they began asking me to help them. So years later, hundreds of speeches later, I began to see patterns. I began to see what takes a speech from telling people what to do or what takes data for anybody and telling them what to do and how to make you more persuasive and how to help you connect and engage and how to help you really go from giving people data to making them want to do it, from manipulation to motivation. And that's when things began to shift for me and a door began to open in corporate because as soon as I realized, wait a minute, it's not just speakers who would benefit by this. Mm-hmm. It's salespeople. It's executives. And I began to realize this is about persuasion. And too many people don't understand how important strategic storytelling is. They don't know how to find their stories. They don't know how to craft them. And they don't know how to tell them. And that's the gold. So another door opened in, and it turned out I was good at that. Who knew? I learned how to find the place where the art of story meets the business of persuasion. And sort of that's where my journey has come. And then you add to it, out of left field, an agent comes up to me in the entertainment world and now asks me to do a one-woman show in theaters. So that whole thing is up and going. We launched in January and had other theaters lined up till COVID. So I'm in this place where all these different things are moving, I guess.
That's awesome. And I do agree with you. It's something I guess maybe I instinctively knew. I'm very much a strategic trainer, but if I did not lace it with real life stories of things that people could relate to or see themselves in, there's no way they would be able to digest that. Because when people walk up to me about a point, they're like, oh, every single time I'm in this position, I think of you and your fish story, your fishing story. And so I know that that's the thing that comes to their mind, not the tip I gave them or the strategy that I gave them. It's the story. And then the story reminds them of the strategy. So it's really, really awesome in that way. So we've talked a little bit about COVID here. So let's just dive in. It has been not an easy thing for people like you and people like me who've got a full calendar and you're excited and you've got your years planned, because we plan almost sometimes at least 6 months in advance, but sometimes almost even 9 months to a year, your calendar can have bookings in it. And it goes in a minute. It went in 7 days. Mine was gone in 7 days. That's all it took for my entire calendar till February of 2021 to be completely wiped out. So I'm sure you experienced something similar, but some of the things that you have done to transition, why don't you talk to folks a little bit about some of the things you've been doing during this, how COVID has affected you, and then what's been some of the outcome of that, and how have you shifted, and what are you doing right now to continue to keep your business thriving and maybe moving in a completely new direction?
Sure. It hit us hard. COVID hit us, the speakers and our industry and me. It hit us hard because you're right. This calendar that I've spent 20 years working to build disappeared almost overnight. I mean, every single doggone job for the rest of the year, just one after another. Not only that, they're saying theaters are closed. Who knows when they'll open? Mm-hmm. And people aren't knowing when in the next year things are going to get going again. So it's been very, very difficult. And this is my family's livelihood. Mm-hmm. So it was all on this. I will say this. I learned an important lesson. My father always said, it's not how much you make, it's how much you keep. And I'm not saying we've always made the best decisions, but we've always tried to run our business with that philosophy. Put it back for a rainy day. Now, it's been raining a long time, so I'm getting a little nervous, but this COVID has really taught me moving forward how important it is, because you never would think something like this could happen, and here you go, we're here. So that being said, I think too, also when it hit and everybody was scrambling and spinning around, and I told somebody, I felt like somebody had taken my whole dream and put it in a puzzle box and it was all sky, and they shook it up and they dumped it out on a blue shag carpet and said, here, go put it back together. It was like everything I knew about my business had changed, and there was no rule book. I didn't know. I still don't. I don't know what's coming. None of us knew it was coming. So how can we know? So anyway, enough gloomy news. And it was funny because I watched people react to this in two different ways. Some people froze. They froze up. They're still frozen. I don't know what to do. I'm just going to wait it out. I'm going to ride it out. I'm the opposite. I've got to do something. Doesn't mean I'm more productive. So don't, but you know, I don't want any people going, well, don't tell me to be more productive, whatever. No, it just means to control my business, I need to be doing something. So I quickly finished up projects. Last year about killed me. I was on the road so much. It was ridiculous. I was really only home a couple of weeks the holidays last year. So I was about headed for probably a nervous breakdown anyway. So I would be lying if I didn't say that in the beginning of COVID, there was a little bit of a relief for me that I could stop and breathe and read a book or light a candle and just regroup and rest. And rest I did, and ate and rested more. I finished the projects. I said, okay, I got a sales course, nearing completion. I'll finish that and I'll finish this book. And so I tidied up all the things that I could do that had been waiting. And then, I know it's weird, but I instantly went, okay, if everybody's going to go virtual, let's get two steps ahead of them. I've always been, let's look at what everybody's doing, see what it's quickly going to become, and how can we look different from that? So before we even figured out how to pivot into virtual, I was already pivoting into how can we be more than the Zoom room look? And with a friend who's a videographer, who said, we kind of put our heads together and started thinking. And it was really hard. It's like every day I feel like I'm waking up trying to solve a new riddle. Mm-hmm. And there's all these new things I'm learning. And I'm like, gross, I didn't want to be 52 and learning, you know, Ecamm and switchers and all this stuff. But I must say it was exciting to be in the stage of creation again. That was a really cool thing for me, was to be dreaming up ideas. And of course there's high risk because we don't know if anything's going to work. And I finally came to a place, long story short, where I had run out of everything that was sensible. I had created anything virtual that I thought my clients would want, anything that quote unquote made sense. And I came to that place where I was like, I don't know what to do now. I don't know what to do when I wake up. I can't do a business plan, Belinda, because I don't know. I'm big on business plans and putting it down on paper and projections and visions. I can't do that. I don't even know how to plan for what I don't know is coming. And I remember turning to my husband and I said, you know what? Screw it. Only I used a different word. I said, I've done everything I know to do. Now I'm going to have some fun. What's the phrase I used? I have spent my life trying to figure out how to make a living. Now I'm going to figure out how to make a life. And I have always, Belinda, wanted to write the stories that I wrote when I was a kid and when I was a teenager. The town I created, Pride's Hollow, this was how it all began for me, was this group of people, and I would tell their stories, kind of like Garrison Keillor's Lake Wobegon, if anybody's familiar who's listening. I knew exactly who I wanted to be and what I wanted to do. But back then, when I got into the speaking business, it looked too weird. It looked too different. I was like, they're not going to buy it. And maybe I was right. And I buried all of them. And COVID has made me realize time is short and we're not promised anything. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to go through the rest of my life always wishing I had done that one thing. And so, and yet this is the weirdest time to be doing it. I mean, talk about a scary time. I told my husband, I was like, I'm going to do my Pride's Hollow episodes. And I don't know if anybody's going to watch it. I might have to start over with my fan base. And I'm just going to trust it. I don't know if it'll make any money. We're going to do it on YouTube in conjunction with Patreon. I mean, which is like an artist donation site. I mean, it's totally different from what I'm used to. But I'm like, I'm going to do it. And the joy I have when I get up and go to my computer in the morning with a cup of coffee and start writing their stories. I said, you know what? I'm going to do this. And I don't care if anybody likes it. But I'm going to trust that if I like it this much, somebody else will too. And I don't know if the money's going to come. But I have a prediction, Belinda. I have a prediction that 5 years from now, and boy, did I write goals. I have sticky notes beside me that this is going to be my next theater show, by the way. The first one's all about me that we're doing now, Who Hijacked My Fairy Tale, but the next one's going to be all about Pride's Hollow. I got sticky notes up that say, Grand Ole Opry, here I come. Branson, Missouri, get ready. I've got a sticky note that says, Pride's Hollow series, 100K subscribers by Christmas. I'm a big believer, more than I ever was, about going ahead and living as if it's already happened.
Mm-hmm.
I never used to buy into that philosophy, put it out to the universe, all that. But Belinda, I've seen that work in my business, and you put it on paper, you dream. And I'm like, you know what? I don't care if there's a COVID. I don't care if people say we're going to be eating potatoes next year. I'm going to act as if it's already here. And I'm lucky to have the support of my husband, who's like, honey, this thing's got legs. Mm-hmm. And a videographer who's like, I'll help you make it happen. So there's where my journey is now. I'm jumping in the deep end of the pool at the worst time in history. But I think I'm going to come back in 5 years and go, well, girlfriend, you did it. And it took this COVID to push you into this place you were always meant to be.
I know. It's incredible. It almost gives me chills listening to you, because I really do think that this is an old sort of philosophy that goes back to not just philosophy, but there's data on it. So philosophy with strategic analysis. But even most companies like a Google, and they try to get people sort of like a room to relax and think, and more companies are trying to put in sort of this embedded time for people to be creative and to think out of the box. Because the reality is that it's less than 10% that most their companies are so busy doing that they never stop. They never have time to stop to think about how can we do it better? How could we do it different? How could we do and create something completely new that would be mind-blowing? And that happens every single day at corporate America all of the time. And they just keep sort of running on that hamster wheel of life. And that's really what's happened here. And I think, you know, like for myself, you said that you're a doer, and you're probably experienced some of the same things. I was immediately like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And then I would spend 2 days frozen, like going, oh my gosh, I have no idea how to make that happen. And then I would get mad at myself and say, okay, stop whining and figure out how to do it. And then I watched a lot on LinkedIn. I watched a lot of videos. That's how I discovered you on LinkedIn again. I was like, oh my gosh. And so I would have like 4, 5, 6 days of just, you know, hustling and doing something new. And then I would have 2 days of like, I didn't want to do this right now. I want to go back to it being the way it was. And that's what I did for the last 3, 4 months. And so I don't know if anybody can relate to that. But then finally, one day I just said, okay, the way I made money before is over. It's done. So what's going to be the new ways to make an income? And if that comes back, that'll just be icing on the cake. And when I made that final shift in my brain, there's been no looking back, honestly. And I think for a lot of people, they continue to hang on to, I wish it was. I just wish things would get back to normal. That's how they stay frozen. But that's my own story that's just happened over the last 5 months, in all honesty. Well,
and it makes all the sense in the world. And sometimes, when you're talking about creativity and innovation, you're exactly right. We are so ingrained to think within the rules and the boundaries. And that's what COVID has done for all of us, is it flipping ripped out the foundation. Mm-hmm. And you know, and we kind of, in a way, have to be a little bit grateful for being, I shouldn't say that, but I can see the silver lining in that only until it was ripped away did it allow me to think beyond that. I mean, as speakers, we often think, okay, I need to be a speaker, so it's got to look like her and it's got to do like him. And we already get pinned in to what everybody else is doing and conforming. It was funny because I would hear a speaker say, well, I need to just get them to book me for a keynote. And I'm like, sweetie, they don't have conferences anymore. A keynote was for a conference. And if there's no more conference, the word doesn't even matter anymore. It's that platform doesn't exist. You can't be a keynoter at a conference when they can't have a conference. Now, the flip side of that, I agree with you that you're going to, okay, this is not going to be, I got to find a new way. But a positive to all that is, it doesn't mean we necessarily have to go drive the UPS truck,
right,
or get a job at Walgreens, because I would make the case that we can still make money. We can, now, those of us, I'm more probably in the entrepreneur camp. I mean, but still, I'm going to make the case that the playground has changed, not what we were doing. For many of us, my humor and my motivation is just as important now, if mm-hmm. not more so than it ever was. My ability to help businesses craft their story is just as important. So many of us think, well, let's just throw it all in and go do something else. No, your playground changed.
Yep.
Not what you offer. A friend and I were looking at it the other day. We're like, it's like we have a shoe store. And we've built this whole shoe store, and we got all these different shoes on the shelf. Well, guess what? None of those shoes are going to work right now. So we need to just create a different pair of shoes. But we and go out there and sell that. So many of us, and maybe many people listening, our skills are still necessary, but our playground changed. And so we can look around. And what I love my whole show, Pride's Hollow Show, I won't go into the details, but it's based on the premise that an old man with a lot of money left it to everybody in town with a condition that they all do something brave. And so the whole show's premise is bravery. And what would you do if you were brave? And I came to that point in COVID, and maybe your people on your call listening are going to come to that point where they're like, we've done everything we can do. Now stop. What would you do if money weren't an object? What would you do if you were brave? What would you do? All the rules are taken away. There's no more playground. What would you create if you could? And I think in many of us, there's that tiny voice that knows exactly what it would be. And we may even know exactly what it looks like. We've just been scared to look at it for a long time. And bringing out those, well, what if I could create something that didn't conform? Let me give you another example. A friend of mine said, okay, I want to do something different, because we're real big right now on me and my peers on, let's don't just go do one step up. Let's really blow this thing up. And one of my friends said, well, I want to do this and this and this and teach people this. And so I need a course. I said, well, that's fine. I can see why you say you need a course, because every third speaker we know is working on a course. I said, but does it have to be a course? Could it be an app? And she goes, what do you mean? I said, why couldn't it be an app? Why couldn't it, you know? And so we started to go down that road of, what if it didn't have to fit the parameters? And that's a hard place to get to naturally, because how can you think of what hasn't been created before?
Right. Oh, it's so lovely chatting with you.
I mean, it's like a fire hose, isn't it?
I know, it is. So,
after I talk to them. But it's meaning, I'm hoping that people aren't overwhelmed by what I'm saying, but actually inspired.
Well, it's absolutely true, because you're right. I'm still going to be me, and I'm still going to train to the people, but it's like you kind of like lose your way a little bit, or you go, okay, how am I going to deliver this down in a different way? What can I do that's more meaningful? And I reached out to my base and then just started doing, I did 30 interviews in a month. And so that was about 30 hours. Some of them were even more. That's the first thing I decided to do. And I wanted to hear from them. What is it? What are you looking for? What are you tired of? What do you need different? And that was such a light bulb for me. And it took the work to do it. Like, people sometimes don't want to put the work in, but I needed to hear from the people I serve, what would make an impact? What would be different? What are you looking for right now? And it was like right then, right now. And I just really went back to school, and I'm like you. I started having to learn all kinds of things with video and equipment and things that some days I would just cry and say, I don't want to learn this. This is not what I wanted to do. And then the next day I would wake up and say, but as I'm learning it, I can teach it. Like, come on this journey. Are you looking for ways to do these same things? Are you looking for ways to look better sitting in your Zoom, in your backlight that makes you look so dark that no one can even see your face? So we just really started saying, okay, here's what I'm doing to look better. Here's what you can do to look better. And it's just been really, it's been super awe-inspiring. It really has. So
you bring up a very good point too, Belinda. Oh, sorry. I
go
keep
ahead.
Cutting you off. But you bring up a really, really good point, is that you are serving the needs of your people. What do they really need? I left that out of the equation when I was explaining on my end, but I went through a similar, what do people need right now? What do they need more than anything? What part of what I do they need? So that's very smart that you are because some people lost sight of that and they want to just go create this big thing, yet they're not tapped into what the person they're serving really needs. So I love that that is really so critical, to understand how what you have is going to fix a problem they have or help them get a desire that they're looking for. Love that you brought that up.
Oh, thanks. So what would you identify as your two superpowers?
Storytelling.
Okay.
And empathy. I don't know if that's the right word, but I believe that whether it comes out in my body, my delivery, my face, my words, the stories, I truly believe that I really, my care for the people I'm talking to, they feel that. They know I care. They know I'm here for them. It's real. And I don't know, I guess empathy would be a way, but I'm all about connection and engagement and moving people. And you can't do that if they don't believe you. And if they don't trust you, and those would be my two. Perfect. I'm also pretty doggone funny, here on this call, but.
You are funny. You're a funny girl. So what's one of your most outstanding accomplishments throughout this entire thing? What's been one of your most outstanding accomplishments?
I know you want something specific. The first thing I have to say is, I made this business work, and I created the woman who just wanted to get married and have kids, created a very successful business, all based on the ability to just want to tell stories. That to me is pretty amazing. I never thought that people would pay me for this gift that I had. If you want to be specific about the greatest accomplishment, that's hard because I've done a lot. Mm-hmm.
You listed in your pre-interview, your theater show. So
that would have to be it because talk about something scary at 50. Am I 52 or 51? Well, when the show came, I think it doesn't matter. 51, I think. But Belinda, at 51, to go in a secure world, I'd figured out before COVID. I had figured out the speaking business. I had figured out what I was doing. We were flying. And to turn left and go into an industry where, I'm sorry, but in theater, I'm starting over. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm taking my skill with me, but everything was new and different. And now there's agents, and now there's sets and writers and just even how you get business. And I'm a no name. It's like starting over. And that to me is a big deal, that I took a deep breath and went, heck yeah, I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. It's what I've always wanted. And I didn't know how to work the stage. I'm still wake up and go, I cannot believe I have the nerve to do a theater show and actually step up on that stage. I mean, just talk about, yet at the same time, it feels like the most natural thing in the world. And I want to say something to people who are listening, who are frustrated because their dream's not coming true. Belinda, it probably was the thing I would have wanted from the very beginning, had I known I could have had it. And by beginning, I mean 20, 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. But it happened at the perfect moment. So things happen when they're supposed to. It looks clunky and muddy and scary when we're in it and when we're facing it. But now that I look at it, everything that's happened, yes, I've worked for it, but everything that's happened has been exactly when it should have happened, and I would be ready for it. But yeah, I'm going to tell, and if I can at 52 decide I'm going to have a one-woman show in a theater, then hello, no excuses. I'm just saying. And I'm sitting here trying something new in my business that I don't know will work. I'm just acting, I don't know. I just think that should be very inspiring, that it is never too late to reinvent yourself.
I think it's very inspiring. And that was the point I was going to make, if you had not just said it. But I think we get too wrapped up in, oh, well, and I hear this, I'm kind of too old. That ship has sailed. It's probably a phrase I hear more often than any other phrase. Well, that ship has sailed. And it's like, well, has it? No. Or why does it have to have been? Why can't you get on a new ship? I mean, like, seriously. And I don't ever think that way. I really don't. I always think about, okay, What's this next thing? And I'm not going to say that I haven't ever gotten comfort zones and it's been really comfortable and it's just easy to go with the status quo. But then when I'm faced, I don't feel like, well, I'm too old to do something. And I try to read inspiring stories about other people. And that's one of the things I encouraged my listeners last week. I'm like, go find an autobiography or a really great story of somebody that you think that it just came overnight. Everybody's overnight success was 10, 20 years long. And they decided to step out and try something new. Or they just became, you know, an actress at age 46. It's like, I think people just put their own boxes and fences up. And you really can do anything at any age if you put your mind to it.
Well, and agreed. And of course, there's some, you know, realities to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to be a supermodel. I mean, let's go ahead and say, I don't care how much I want to, that ain't going to happen. But dreams don't die. They just take a different shape. Oh, funny, I use the word shape. But one thing I want to say too, is you got to work for it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say, well, that ship has sailed, because in their heart, they know they're not willing to put in the effort. It's something I'm trying to instill now, Lord help us all, in my 15-year-old or 16-year-old. You know, it's that sense of, no, you got to work. You got to put in the sweat. You got to save. You have to be willing to put in the time and energy and fear to do that. So I agree. And beyond that, if you are willing to, it's, well, what have you got to lose? That's what I often say. Okay. Wait a minute. I do want to say one other thing too. It's not always a big thing, Belinda. It doesn't have to be, I need to go create a one-woman show at 52. It might be that you just want to go to the beach and lay on the sand by yourself, but you've never taken a trip by yourself to the beach before. What would your husband think? What would your kids think? I mean, I think finding our joy and creating a life well lived is sometimes, and in some of my episodes of my show, I'll say bravery isn't always the big things. Sometimes it's the small things and the tiny little decisions that we make to do something that brings us joy. That, you know, we could do a lot more of that. I know I can. Even as I talk, I'm like, man, I need to go to the beach sometime by myself and just sit on the sand.
Exactly. Well, that brings us to a really great question in the show. What does working from your happy place mean to you?
Working from my happy place means not just doing what I need to do to make money on Monday, but doing what brings me joy and knowing that's okay. And not joy for tomorrow, but joy for today. Because I know someone. Well, I'll just make it hypothetical. I know people who have put off their joy for one day, thinking that if they do all these things today, they'll be ready when the one day comes to put their feet up and relax. And I know some people who didn't get their one day. And no, we can't just throw everything to the wind. And I mean, we have to be realistic. We have to make money on Monday. We gotta do things we don't like. But I know for me, my life has a little more room for joy in it. And when I hear work from your happy place, do the work that just lights you up. And one thing I'll say about that too, is that's manifested itself in my own business. Okay, wait, hold on. My headset's falling out of my ears. That's probably the problem. That's manifested itself in my business. Working from your happy place, because there were many things, Belinda, I could have done that I chose not to do. That I said, no, I don't. Okay, if they don't want to book me because I'm not corporate enough, then fine, let them go somewhere else. Or I don't know. I think it's also knowing what your boundaries are and mm-hmm. what kind of work you want to create. Does that make sense? Because there's a lot of things we can do, but there's not a lot of things I want to do. Yep. I don't know.
Absolutely. So what advice would you give to others that maybe are wanting to go down this entrepreneurial path or really right now others who might be stuck with this current situation that we're in?
I would say, well, the current situation, there's no wrong or right way to go through this. Nobody's going to come out on the other side having dealt with it better than you. So deal with this in the way that you need to. Mm-hmm. It's a tough time, and it's traumatic for a lot of people. So of course, you're going to be spinning, and you're not going to have answers, and you're not going to know what to do, and you're going to be snippy, and you're going to cry for no reason, and you're going to be emotional, and that's all part of it. Second thing I would say is, you have our permission, which sounds weird, but many of us are waiting for permission from somebody to do what we want to do. Don't wait anymore for permission. Go ahead and do it. What would you do if you were brave? Yes, you can be smart about it. You can do it in a, you know, smaller baby steps. And think to yourself, why not? Why not you? Why not now? Have a plan. Put it down on paper is another piece of advice I would give. Mm-hmm. Beautiful things happen when you create a vision and storyboard it and go after what you want. Be willing to put the time into it and the effort to get where you want to. And lastly, I'm going to say, be prepared to fail. And when you do, relish it and embrace it and love on it and look at it and learn from it, because it's a gift. There is nothing we try that doesn't fail the first however many times. That's how we learn. That's how we make it better. Too many of us fail once and then throw our hands up and figure that we weren't supposed to do that. And why? Because the story we tell ourselves in our head is very important. And if your head is telling you, if that inner narrative is telling you, you can't do this, you aren't good enough, you won't make it, you're going to immediately look for examples of that. And as soon as you find one, you're going to go, see, told you couldn't do it. And you're going to think that was proof. I need you to change that narrative in your head and make it work for you instead of against you. Yes, you can do it. It takes time. It's a process. But what you feed your mind about your ability to do this is going to be the most important thing that will allow you to create this life that you want. And I get it. There will be a lot of people. I can't count how many people have thought what I was going to do was foolish or didn't make sense, or a woman doesn't do that, or why are you going to leave your family so much to travel? You got to get those people out of your head. And I finally realized at some point in my career that they weren't really saying it as much as I thought they were, that maybe they said it once and I kept saying it for 10 years, that really the biggest critic and the biggest voice in my head was me. Mm-hmm. And learning how to go, you know what? Mm-mm. Grand Ole Opry, here I come. And standing in it, I think I already said it, but I'll say it again. Stand in it as if it's already happened.
Yep, that's great advice. So let's close with some new and exciting things that you're working on. And then, of course, at the very end, where our listeners can find you.
Sure. My Pride's Hollow show, I would just be so thankful if y'all would check out my YouTube channel, because that's where these episodes are going to be launched. I don't even know what the channel name is, but you could find it. You can Google it. Go to my site. It's easy to Google and find. So I would love to have some people that would come to that first. I don't know when the first episode's going to come out. I guess within the month, that would go watch it and you know, love on that. That's the project for now. I mean, when my theaters hit the ground running again, when the doors open up, you know, if you're on my Facebook page, you'll find out what city we're coming to and when. And how to find me? You can easily Google me if you just Google Kelly Swanson Speaker. My website is motivationalspeakerkellyswanson.com. That's how you can find me. Like Belinda said, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty accessible. But Belinda, I really appreciate having this opportunity to come and speak to your group. I think the world of you. I think you are one sharp cookie and funny yourself and fun to be around. And you have always inspired me. And so I wish you all the best with this endeavor too, because it's one more avenue for you to go down as well.
It is. Well, Kelly, thank you so much. I always tell my guests, and I think that this is so important, because I've had people say to me, why do you do the podcast? And I said, well, it's to reach a new audience. And because we haven't done a lot of things to monetize it. It leads people back to me in other areas. And so I've had a lot of people question that. And I said, you know what? I know that I'm making an impact on others, and that makes me happy, but this fills my bucket up every Tuesday when I record these, because I batch all of them on Tuesdays. That's a day I look forward to because I get filled up, and we all need to be inspired. It's the inspiration of others that motivates us to move in a different direction or in a new direction or just in a direction. And so I would encourage everybody listening is be inspired. Seek out people that are inspiring and they're in stories, and then learn to inspire others with your story and learning to craft that story. And Kelly's got some really great information on that. But it's really about just how we show up and how we allow others to show up in our lives. That's really what it is at the end of the day, is how you choose to show up, but then how you allow others to show up in your life as well. So for that, I'm extremely grateful for your friendship over the years and extremely grateful to have you share with our audience today. And I'm so inspired by the things that you're doing right now. She's funny, you guys. She's got commercials on LinkedIn, and you need to see them because they are hysterical. On a day sometimes when I'm down and I watch that, I first laugh my head off as I'm sitting in the chair, and then it makes me stop and say, okay, she can be this silly and this goofy, and she can put herself out there. I sure as heck can do it too. And I encourage all of you to just find those outlets. And they're there. They're all over the place. They're everywhere. And but thank you, Kelly, for sharing that. You're funny and you're wise and you're honest and you're authentic, and you really can't ask much more in a human being. So thank you for being you.
Thank you so much. What kind words. I appreciate it. And I'll come back another day and talk to you all about storytelling.
I know. I can't wait. All right. Well, thanks again to Kelly. And thanks to all of you for being part of our Work From Your Happy Place community. The best thing that you can do is subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. Share this with your friends and tell them, oh my gosh, you're missing out on a really great place to be inspired and to grow as a human being. And rate our show, because that really helps both Kelly and myself in the endeavors of what we're trying to accomplish. So again, thanks to all of our listeners, and we'll see you next time on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.